My name's Heather Hawkins, and I'm a believer who struggles with codependency, fear of rejection, and trusting in God. And these struggles have taken the form of perfectionism, performance-based relationships, conditional love, manipulation, anger, controlling behavior, withdrawal, and isolation. Hi. I grew up in a Christian home with parents who loved me. They did their best to teach me the truth found in God's Word by taking me to church, protecting me from negative worldly influences, and by giving strict guidelines to follow. Yet, from an early age, I can remember feeling unloved and unaccepted by my family and others. I remember feeling misunderstood and that I was wrongly accused of being a bad girl and very sinful. Feelings of shame and guilt started to grow inside me from around the age of 8. Also around this age, my parents set me down to explain that my father who had raised me was not my biological father. My mother told me that she had conceived me out of wedlock and that my biological father had never seen me. At the time, I didn't feel very affected. I had a dad who I'd always known, and I didn't fully comprehend what this really meant. I do remember feeling a connection to the man my mother described, and I started to think about him often. At times when my parents and I weren't getting along or I got in trouble, I would escape to my room or into a daydream and fantasize about my biological father. I would imagine being his princess and thought about how much he loved me. These daydreams continued on and into my teen years and grew into an actual belief system. In my mind, my biological father was my prince who loved me, accepted me, and understood me. I asked Jesus into my heart and was baptized at church camp when I was 9. I knew that this was an important step and believed God was the creator and Jesus was his son. But contrary to what God's word says is true, I did not feel connected to God and thought of him as a father figure who was disappointed in me. It was hard for me to connect what I was learning spiritually with my real life. In middle school, I started to feel inadequate and started to have deep feelings of insecurity. I compared myself to every other girl in my class. Either I was too skinny, too fat, too dark, too pale, too tall, or too short, and the list went on. I also started to get made fun of by some of the girls in my grade. It seemed like they were making fun of me for just about any reason, and I couldn't figure out how to please them or be accepted. I began to distrust girls and felt myself putting up walls with my friends. Also during this time, I was boy crazy. I fell in love with most of the boys in my school over the next couple years. I would feel rejected when they didn't reciprocate. I would dream of marriage, love, being close emotionally, and feeling understood by these adolescent boys. Each time I wasn't pursued by a boy, I would try and figure out what it was they didn't like about me, and I would try and change it. This became a huge pattern that would follow me into adulthood. My desire to be loved and accepted ruled over me like a master to a slave, and I worked tirelessly to be enough so that I would be accepted. At the age of 13, my parents divorced, and my world was turned upside down. Through this difficult time, I fell through the cracks at home and at school. I struggled to feel wanted by either of my parents. In addition, my once strict home became a teenager's dream. With my mom working and gone a lot of the time, I had lots of free time and abused the rules of our home. We stopped attending church, and I questioned whether or not I wanted to be a Christian. I didn't know any Christians that I really wanted to be like. I became the girl that people wanted to hang out with because I had no parents at home to enforce the rules. I also learned how to manipulate my mom and get what I wanted. I lied to her often about where I was going and who I was going to be hanging out with. For a short while, I felt very in control and loved the approval I was getting from my friends and the other boys at school. I started to hang out with boys a few years older. I desperately wanted to fit in. I would change the style of music I liked for a boy, pretend that I liked football, dressed a certain way, smoked cigarettes, or even made up lies so that a boy would approve of me. Once I started to date older boys, I began to feel judgment from girls at school. By my sophomore year, I had only 2 girlfriends. I was being verbally and physically bullied by older girls at school. I never told anyone out of fear that they would think less of me. I was unwilling to show weakness or seem needy. I hated going to school and started skipping class to hang out with my boyfriend. Over time, I realized that I had missed 6 weeks of school and no one had even noticed. I decided to drop out and move on from high school. I just wanted a fresh start where I could escape the feelings of rejection. My boyfriend and I broke up shortly after, and I went on from one boyfriend to the next. Right around my 19th birthday, I ran into a high school boyfriend, Colin, who had just come back from combat training with the Marine Corps. We started dating and wasted no time getting serious and moved in together within a few months. This was the first time I felt like life was going my way. I had a committed boyfriend, we were happy, and I thought he could fulfill all my dreams. I was fairly isolated during this time and did not work to have healthy relationships with other girls. I carried a lot of resentment and bitterness towards the girls in my past. I made Colin the center of my world. I loved him, but a lot of my feelings came from the expectations I had in my mind of who he would be and how he would make me feel. I was completely self-absorbed, and my need for unconditional love and approval grew even stronger. The more it grew, the more I pushed on him. We married after a few years of living together. We were excited to find out that I was pregnant. In my mind, I thought this would be the next step to bringing us closer. After delivering twin boys, our marriage started to deteriorate. I was crushed that I wasn't getting the intimacy that I had craved, and I made sure to tell him how disappointed I was. I spent my days feeling isolated and would dump all my needs on Colin when he walked in the door. When my pleas and cries went unmet, I shut down and started to close off my heart to him. I convinced myself that I needed to draw a line in the sand. He would either meet my emotional needs or he could leave. He decided to move out for a while to get clarity, and he never moved back. Although I vowed to never get divorced, it was as if there was something else working against me that I had no power against. Lies from the world filled my mind. You deserve more. No one should treat you this way. Life's too short to be unhappy. There's a soulmate out there for you. This was definitely a low point in my life. I felt like a failure and was ashamed to be around family and friends. I would agonize over running into an old friend and having to explain that I was divorced. I constantly thought about what others were thinking about me. A lot of my old feelings resurfaced from childhood, and I felt so unworthy and unlovable. It took years to realize that I had no identity of my own. I tried to act, look like, and be who I thought others would want and accept. The problem with this was the world changes who they want. Who can keep up with that? I felt like I was on a train, but I didn't know how to get off. These were all things that I felt and desperately looked outside myself to find answers. Some old habits returned, like smoking, and I started to crave attention from men. Because I was a single mom, I didn't want to get too involved in a relationship and had lots of boundaries, but I would flirt with men to gain approval and would feel worthy for a temporary time. 2 years after my divorce, at 25 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was detected at an early stage, and I was treated with success, and I have been cancer-free for 8 years. But during that year of treatment, I began to think about eternity and my purpose. I had a foundation of knowledge from childhood that led me to start praying. I wasn't questioning if there was a God, but if he was good and if he really loved me. Christianity had always looked like rules to follow, which I always broke, rather than a relationship. As I began to pray, I would tell God that I was unsure of him. I prayed and asked him to show me that he was there and that he cared. Slowly, I began to hear his voice. Through many different means, he started speaking to me, and I began to believe he was really listening. I prayed one night while sitting outside on my patio and smoking a cigarette, "God, please show me what's keeping me from seeing you." As clear as day, I felt him asking me to stop smoking. I knew in my heart that I was depending on the nicotine to feel in control and for a release. I knew that it was a barrier between he and I had to stop immediately. That was the last night I smoked. For me, this was a miracle and the beginning of my journey with the Lord. He showed up and allowed me to experience his power. I started attending a church in Plano and began listening to sermons and reading my Bible. I was so excited to learn and grow, and I felt so alive. I started to learn about godly marriage, biblical worldview, Christian parenting, and being a godly woman. Learning about marriage God's way was eye-opening. Even though I knew divorce was wrong, this was the first time I had accepted it as a sin. I now knew that my shame and guilt I was feeling was from my sin in my marriage and my participation in the divorce. I knew that I would need repentance and healing, but I didn't know where to find help. For about 4 years, I spent time growing and learning God's word. Isaiah 54:5 spoke to me during this time. "For your maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is the God of all the earth." I felt as though Jesus was my husband. I got involved at church, but I still kept people at arm's length. I was happy to serve, but feared rejection, and I did not pursue friends. 5 years after my divorce, I met Raymond. He was a strong, intelligent, and amazing father of 2 kids of his own. He had many of the qualities I desired in a husband. Raymond proposed 3 months after our first date. During this time, I began to sense distance between God and I. My once daily talks with God became Sunday morning church attendance. I was again caught up in the expectations of what this relationship would bring. I knew Raymond had a strong Christian background, but I started to notice signs that he wasn't walking with God. We started to have fights that would not get resolved. Instead of bringing these things up and pursuing resolution, I cowered down and feared if I pushed on him, he would leave. Still isolated, I took matters into my own hands instead of praying about it. With unresolved issues, we married on March 1st, 2008. A month after marrying, we went on our honeymoon to Hawaii. It was on this trip that I discovered that Raymond had not been faithful during our engagement or the first month of our marriage, and he had plans to continue extramarital relationships and had an addiction to pornography. I was in shock and felt out of control. I felt trapped. Although I had made the decision to marry him on my own, I questioned God, his love for me, and blamed him for the pain I was experiencing. How could a good God allow me to be fooled and hurt so badly? Didn't he know I had been through enough? Raymond and I fought for hours day after day. I asked him to seek help and confess everything, and he was unwilling. I immediately turned to God and to a pastor's wife. I was encouraged to follow the instructions in Matthew 18. Go to your brother and show him his fault. If he does not repent, take two others. A few weeks from home from our honeymoon, two pastors came to our home and confronted him. Their confrontation was wrapped in love and grace. They committed to see him through. He was expecting rejection and to be shunned, but received grace instead. He responded and agreed to the terms laid out by our pastor. He was asked to attend Celebrate Recovery at a Baptist church. During a temporal separation, I prayed and asked God for guidance. I wanted to know if I had grounds for a divorce. In an almost audible voice, God told me that I was to stay. God's words guided my course for the next couple of months. I started to see changes in my husband while he was attending CR. He began to soften, and he started to talk about his struggles. I went to him with him as a supporter to his open group at CR, but felt I wasn't really in need of recovery. As time went on and our struggles continued, I started to have outbursts of anger, yelling, screaming, saying hurtful things, throwing things at him, leaving him in the middle of the night for hours, hitting him even in front of our children once. I woke up every day fearing that Raymond would leave me. I focused on his sin and couldn't see my part in most of our fights. My own sin had deceived me. My next-door neighbor attended Watermark and told me how she had completed regeneration. She shared her testimony with me, and I could relate to many of her struggles. After attending a meeting, I heard women talk about anger, control, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, codependency, and other struggles that I also had. God used the stories of these men and women to start removing the scales from my eyes. Sorry, blank page. I hope that doesn't skip stuff. For the first time, I saw patterns of codependency in my life. The first couple of years of our marriage, I was completely dependent on Raymond to determine my worth. I would slide into a pit whenever we were in a big fight. Checking his phone records, email, and questioning him were all daily routine. I began to see where my fear of rejection had caused so many fights with my husband. I also saw that I had tried to weigh my sin against Raymond's to make sure I came out on top. As I learned about inventory and started to write down my sin, I realized that I wasn't better than Raymond or anyone else. My need for grace grew as I walked through these steps. For me, step one was the most difficult. For so many years, I had put on an act of strength and perfection, and to admit that I was powerless was so humbling. God also started to heal my wounds that had been caused by women in my life. I asked the Lord to show me areas where I had sinned. He was faithful to show me that I had perceived others' lack of pursuit as rejection. When I began to get healthy and get a good perspective, I realized that I was the one keeping people away. Out of fear and self-protection, I gave off signals to not come close. In the beginning, it was hard to put myself out there. I was truly socially awkward when it came to making friends, and it was painful at first. God gave me grace and allowed me to meet some of the most forgiving women I've ever known, who are all here with me tonight. I have this posse up here. It's truly an amazing miracle, just that in itself. Sometimes I feel myself pulling back, and I have to be obedient to call my friends and tell them my fears. Learning to work through issues instead of just running away is so amazing, and it builds trust. After completing step four, I began to see God's hand in my life. Looking over the trials, hurts, and disappointments in my life, I realized this is what had brought me to a broken place to see my need for Jesus. I thought that my life had been a series of tragic events that I didn't want to face or deal with. God told me that he would use my past and pain to show me how he forgives, He loves, He renews, He heals, and uses our mess to become our message. The truth is, my past isn't really that different from most. Yes, I didn't know my biological father, my parents divorced, I had been divorced, I had cancer, but most of us at the core have the same desires. We want to be known and loved anyway. We want to be forgiven for our bad choices and given another chance. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Thankfully, He loved me enough to allow these circumstances to draw me to Him. This understanding has changed my view of God. I no longer blame Him for my pain or wonder why He is where He is when all of this is going on. I now know He is a trustworthy God who loves me. I often think about the words of a song we sing in church, 'Where would I be without my Savior?' After starting regeneration 3 years ago, I still struggle. I believe fear of rejection and abandonment will always be a struggle for me. I have to take it one day at a time. Psalm 72:26 says, 'My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. I no longer have outbursts of anger. I am learning to pursue friends without fear of rejection. I can stop negative thought patterns that lead me to try to control my husband by checking his phone or computer. And when my husband and I fight, I can deal with the issues instead of slipping into a pit of despair. What I have learned by following the one who defines truth has changed my world, my desires, and my identity. I have an identity, y'all. I am the daughter of a king. I am the child of a maker. And he says I have worth. It's worth to him.' Raymond and I are on this journey together. I have the amazing privilege of being his wife and raising our four beautiful children together. And we serve here at Rottermark at Regeneration alongside one another. If this is your first time at Regen, welcome. You're in a safe place. Wherever you are in your journey, nothing but good can come from this process. I will be honest with you, it's not easy. Your enemy, the devil, does not want you to grow closer to God. Hebrews 12:1 encourages us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Thanks for letting me share.